Matthew chapter number 1, and let's start reading in verse number 18, and we'll read down through a few of the verses here in Matthew chapter number 1. A couple of Sundays ago in the morning service, we started a series that was going to be a Christmas series here as we lead up to Christmas Day, and we were talking about the wonderful God of Christmas, just a little series that we wanted to do on Sundays about the wonderful God of Christmas. And we talked about the way that God worked in the lives of the characters of the Christmas story. And so several Sundays ago, we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth. That was the last Sunday of November. We talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the way that God used and worked in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and even in the birth of John the Baptist as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned some great truths of how that God worked in their lives. And then last Sunday morning, when we were meeting together for the morning service, we preached about the way that God worked in the life of Mary, the virgin mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about how that God worked in her life and a couple of character traits that we wanted to try to apply in our lives as well, the humility that she had and the work that she did for the Lord and how faithful she was to what God would have her to do in a spirit of submission we talked about last week. But today we want to move on to another character in the Christmas story and see the way the Lord worked in the life of another character. God's, the wonderful God of Christmas and the way God worked in the life of one of those characters in the Christmas story. And we want to talk about Joseph for a few minutes this morning. And we want to talk about how that God worked in a wonderful way in the life of Joseph as he was placed into the Christmas story and the great working in the life of Joseph and the way that God put all of these details together and worked out the Christmas story so that we have the privilege of knowing what took place when Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Now, the life of Joseph is going to cover two different messages. So we're going to have a message this morning, and then we'll bring this message to a conclusion this evening. So part number two will be tonight when we meet together in the 6 o'clock service tonight. But we're going to talk about God's working in the Christmas story, the great and wonderful God of Christmas, and we're going to see how he worked in the life of Joseph. So would you look at Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. And by the way, even before we begin to read, there are not a lot of details that are given about the life of Joseph in the story, in the Christmas story. There's some that are seen here in the book of Matthew and just a few details that are given in the book of Luke. So not a whole lot, but here's what's great about the verses that we can read here in the life of Joseph. You don't have to have a large amount of verses to be able to pull out some truths of the lives of those who are involved in the Christmas story. And Joseph is no different. We're going to see some great truths in the life of Joseph here. So look at Joseph, look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now these are the verses we heard just a moment ago. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." I heard a story about a time in which there was a Christmas program that was going on at a church, and just like the typical Christmas programs that we would have here, and just because of the situation that is going on around us today with health and making sure that we're careful in that way, we haven't had the choir, and we won't have those Christmas programs like we typically would, and we certainly miss that. This is usually the day of the year when we would have the children get up and they would have their Christmas program. But there was a Christmas program like that in which they had characters that were set aside in this Christmas program to play the different parts in the Christmas story. And a mother, in just a very panic way, phoned the church on the afternoon of the day in which they were going to have the children's Christmas program that night. And she got the director on the phone, and she says, "I've got some really terrible news." She said, "My son, who, by the way, was supposed to play Joseph in the Christmas program that evening, he's sick," she said, "and because of his sickness, he will not be able to make it." Well, the director said to the lady on the phone, she said, well, he said to her, it's too late now to get another Joseph, and so because of that, we're just going to have to take him out of the script. And sadly, as that program went on without Joseph, no one even missed him. No one even noticed he was gone. I heard a story of a time in which a man was walking through his house, and Brother Terry will probably appreciate this story. A man was walking through his house, and he came by a nativity display that his wife had out in the house. And he looked at that nativity set, and he asked his wife, he said, "I noticed Joseph is missing." He said, "I'm looking at this nativity scene here that you've set up in our living room," and he said, "I noticed Joseph is missing, and you've replaced him with one of the wise men." He said to his wife, he said, he asked her, "Why is it that you did that?" And his wife responded, and she said, "Well, I did the best I could." She said, "I bought this nativity at a yard sale, and it was a $9 nativity at the yard sale. I thought maybe Brother Terry would appreciate that because Miss Vicky's known for finding deals at yard sales." How many of you are the same? You say, "Man, I can get to them yard sales and find some good deals." And this lady had found a deal. She said, "Hey, I did the very best I could. I found this at a yard sale for $9. It was so cheap I had to take advantage of it." And so she said, "I used the pieces that it had and I did it the best way I could do it." In both of those stories, Joseph was missing. You know, he's a hero in the Christmas story, but can be often left out. We want to talk about him today, and we want to see how important Joseph was in the Christmas story. I know a lot of times we talk about the Virgin Mary, don't we? And we bring up Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and we bring up the baby, of course, Jesus, and we bring up the shepherds and the angels that delivered that great message, delivering the message to Mary and then talking to Joseph, as we saw here even in this passage that we read in Matthew chapter number 1, and delivering the message of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And we often talk about them, and there's even songs that are written about them. But sometimes Joseph can be forgotten. He can be easily overlooked. He appears almost as just an afterthought sometimes. But in the Christmas story, we want to notice how the wonderful God of Christmas used the life of Joseph. We want to notice how the wonderful God of Christmas worked in the life of Joseph in the Christmas story. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about Joseph. As a matter of fact, we mentioned that just a second ago in the Christmas story, in the Christmas narrative. We see him mentioned just briefly here in Matthew chapter number 1. Briefly mentioned in Luke when the Bible records the message of Jesus and the birth that Mary gave to Jesus. And really the only words that you would even notice are mentioned of Joseph. Really just briefly here, we see at the end of chapter number 1 of the book of Matthew, at the very end, we see in verse number 25 that he called his name Jesus. We don't even really see a lot of words that are mentioned out of Joseph's mouth, other than what we see there at the end of verse number 25. But what we're going to notice today is the example of Joseph is not in what he said, but in what he did. Sometimes we don't have to have a lot of words to know the importance of someone's character. Matter of fact, we talked about it this morning. We don't have a lot of words that are mentioned in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis about a man whose name was Enoch. As a matter of fact, there's not a whole lot of verses even of his life at all. But it says that Enoch walked with God. We know some special truths of what Enoch did, even though we don't know a whole lot about what he said. And that's true of the life of Joseph. It's not in what he said, but what he did. And his life is such an example to us of the life that we ought to lead. Joseph made his living as a carpenter in that little tiny small village of Nazareth. Remember, we brought up the village, the little small village of Nazareth last week in the message. And we brought it up because we were talking about Mary and how that angel came to visit Mary while she was in Nazareth. And God was going to call the Savior of the world from this little tiny small village of Nazareth where Joseph was making his living as a carpenter and Mary was living there in Nazareth. Well, the Bible picks up the story of Joseph and his life where we're at here in Matthew chapter number 2. And the story picks up when Joseph has fallen in love with Mary and they're making plans to be married. But God has a plan in which he is going to use Joseph to work in his life, and he will become the earthly father of Jesus Christ. Now, we know he didn't have an earthly father by way of a relationship that way, but we know that he acted as the earthly father of Jesus. And so what we want to notice about the wonderful God of Christmas, what we want to notice this morning, is some ways in which God worked in the life of Joseph. I want to give you a few words this morning that are true of the life of Joseph, and I want you to make application of these things today. I want you to notice how the God of Christmas worked in the life of Joseph. The first thing I want you to see is his character. I want us to notice, number one, his character, or maybe perhaps we could word it this way, his conviction. His conviction. We notice some things about Joseph's character, even in these few short verses, a few short passage of verses that we read here in Matthew chapter number 1. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. I know we already read this verse, but verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now Joseph learns of Mary's pregnancy. We pick up the story here that we're reading about the life of Joseph here in verse number 18. It starts to tell us about how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married, and so Joseph learns of his wife's pregnancy. He learns of it at a time in which they are betrothed. They are engaged to be married. But what we have to understand about this time period is that there would have been no difference between being engaged and being married. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says in verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband." Really, there was no legal difference between being engaged and being married. Engagement would set the marriage contract in place. It wouldn't just start it in motion. It had actually already set it in place. The wedding was just the formalizing or the celebration of it. So legally here, they're betrothed, they're engaged, and it would be the same as just saying they were married to one another. And so for Joseph to learn of Mary's pregnancy certainly would have brought a sense of loss to him, wouldn't it? I mean, you can just picture the effect that this has on Joseph, the sense of loss that he is now facing, or a feeling of major disappointment now hearing that this wife who I had been faithful to, and I was certainly trusting that she was going to be faithful to me, is now found with child. She's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And so there's a feeling of loss and a feeling of disappointment. His good name or his reputation had been dishonored. The woman who he loved had been unfaithful to him. His trust had been violated. Every feeling of hurt that you could possibly imagine is what Joseph was feeling. And we could even go as far as to say this, that Joseph would have had even every right to be angry. Mary has been unfaithful. So what is Joseph to do? Joseph has a couple different options, doesn't he? At this particular moment, after he's hearing that his betrothed wife is pregnant, he has several options. What is Joseph to do? Well, the Bible says something interesting about the character of Joseph. And I want you to notice this. We just read it in verse number 18. We read the beginning of the story of Joseph's life. But now notice verse number 19. It says something unique about Joseph's character. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Being a just man. Number one, we notice Joseph. We notice his character. Or we notice some convictions that he had. That little two-word phrase there that describes Joseph as a just man, what that means is he desired to do the right thing. He desired to do the right thing. Now, she had been unfaithful. Because legally there was no difference between being engaged and being married, she had committed adultery. She had been unfaithful to her husband. And so Joseph could have followed the letter of the law. Joseph had every legal right to humiliate Mary. And Joseph had every legal right upon that humiliation to have the potential of even seeing Mary stoned to death. But if not stoned to death, for sure she would be an outcast in her family, wouldn't she? She would be an outcast in the community because she had been unfaithful in time of betrothal, in time of engagement, in time of marriage. She could be stoned to death. She would be an outcast to her family, an outcast to the community. You know, Joseph didn't choose that option, did he? Joseph could have humiliated Mary, but Joseph didn't choose that option, did he? We notice, number one, his character, his conviction. He wanted to do the right thing. Can I say this about option number one? Many would have chosen that today, though. Many would have chosen to do that very thing today. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Now, if somebody commits adultery today, we don't stone them today, do we? No, but we can be pretty hurtful to people, though, can't we? We can do very harmful things to humiliate others. Perhaps maybe to sue somebody, or maybe to use social media for the purpose of slandering. What we're trying to say by way of application is sometimes we become weak to the point where we would have chosen the wrong direction. But Joseph was a man of character. He was a man of conviction, and without even consideration, perhaps of what would happen to somebody else as far as their feelings are concerned, or even the possibility of restoration or allowing God to handle the situation. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands, but that's not what God desires. Let's be individuals of character. Let's be individuals of conviction. We can learn a lot from Joseph. Number two, I want you to notice this about Joseph, his compassion. Number one, he was a man of character. He was a man of conviction. He desired to do the right thing. The Bible describes him as a just man, but also I want you to notice his compassion. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. I know we read the first half of it. Look at the second half of this. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Joseph chose option number two, didn't he? He planned to put his wife away privately. He wanted to do it in a quiet way. A private separation instead of a public humiliation. Here's what we notice about verse number 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Here's what I want you to notice about Joseph. He wanted to make the right choice, but he also wanted to do it in the right way. He wanted to do the right thing, and he wanted to do it in the right way as well. And that's where we see his compassion. Instead of making a choice to humiliate and to hurt, he didn't want to hurt. He didn't want to disgrace. He didn't want to humiliate Mary in a public way. After all, this was the lady who he loved. So here's what Joseph does. Joseph decides to show mercy, doesn't he? He says, I'm going to put her away privately. I don't want to make her a public example. I certainly don't want to hurt her. I don't want to humiliate her. And I'm going to decide to show mercy. You know, what an application for us. A good husband, a good father, doesn't want to humiliate those who they're called to love, does he? What an example for us. A good father, a good husband, The desire upon their heart is not to humiliate those who they're called to love and those who they're called to lead. What would God desire us to do? Respond with compassion. And so Joseph responded with compassion. He had a Christ-like response to betrayal. What was that Christ-like response? One of compassion, one of kindness, one of grace, one of mercy. And you know what we would do well to learn from the character of Joseph? We would do well to learn from the compassion of Joseph. But I want to draw your mind to another truth about the life of Joseph. As God works in his life in the Christmas story, number three, I want you to notice his courage. I want you to notice his courage. We see, number one, his character. He chose to do the right thing. His compassion. He chose to do it in the right way. But now I want you to see his courage, because now he's given news by an angel, isn't he? While Joseph is contemplating what he was about to do because of this unfaithfulness in this marriage relationship that he had, an angel pays him a visit, doesn't he? And the Bible says that this angel gives instruction as far as the nature of Mary's pregnancy. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things," he's contemplating what he's about to do. And notice verse 20, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." The angel gives some instruction to Joseph. Instruction concerning the nature of Mary's pregnancy. At the very point when Joseph needed to know what to do, he received guidance and instruction and direction from the angel. Isn't that exactly how God works? At the very point when you need guidance, at the very moment when you need wisdom, at the very moment when you need direction, there's God to point the way for us. Isn't that so true about our God? He's there to give us direction when we need it. Oh, never fear when you need wisdom. Just go to God. He'll be there to help you. He'll be there to guide you every step of the way. Think of the situation that Joseph's going through. He's got a very important decision to make. He's a just man. He wants to do the right thing in the right way. And right as he needs the direction, right as he needs the guidance, right as he needs the wisdom, God sends that angel. And can I encourage you today? God still works that way today, doesn't he? To those who walk with him, God still works that way today. At the very moment when you need wisdom, at the very moment when you need his guidance, at the very moment when you need his direction, isn't it great to know that he is there to guide us? He's there to give us wisdom. He's there to direct us every step of the way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Isn't it great to know that we have God's guidance and instruction and wisdom today? And right when we need it most, that is when God is there to give us instruction and wisdom and guidance. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9, it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Hey, you in your life as a Christian, you may have it all planned out. You may have it all figured out every step of the way. You know exactly what your path is going to be like. But you better seek God for final direction. God's there to guide. God's there to give wisdom. God's there to give instruction and direction when we need it. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse number 13, Jesus in his earthly ministry was giving the great promise that when I leave, I'm going to bring the Comforter. I'm going to send him your way. He's going to come along beside you. He's going to be one of the same kind. And the Holy Spirit's going to be there to guide you, to give you instruction, to give you wisdom every step of the way. So what is the angel's guidance? What is his instruction? What is his wisdom that he gives? Well, he lets Joseph know that Mary was not pregnant as a result of unfaithfulness, but she was pregnant as a result of the fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says in verse number 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel." Now that's the same prophecy we read from last week, isn't it? Remember when the angel Gabriel visited Mary and he said, "You're going to give birth. You're a virgin. You're going to fulfill prophecy that's found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. So it's not that Mary had been unfaithful, but instead it's a fulfillment of prophecy. So here's what happens for Joseph. Bad news quickly turned into good news, didn't it? Hey, I'm at a time where I've got a choice to make. I want to do the right thing, and I want to do it in the right way. And so his character and his compassion led him to make a decision. I'm going to put her away privately. I'm going to put her away in a private, in a quiet way, so that I can privately separate from her instead of publicly humiliate her. But all that terrible news turned into good news when the angel says, "Hey, I've got a good report for you. Mary, your wife, is about ready to give birth, but it's not what you think. It's not that she's been unfaithful, but instead it's a fulfillment of prophecy." Bad news turns into good news, and Joseph had to put aside his fears so that he could have the courage to trust God. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20 as the angel says to him, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." We said, number one, he had character. We said, number two, he had compassion. He wanted to do the right thing in the right way. But we said, number three, Joseph shows us a wonderful pattern of courage. Joseph was learning to trust God. This was going to be a huge step of faith, but he was going to follow God by faith. To answer a question for you, how would it be that he would be able to verify? Now, how is Joseph? He's in a difficult spot here. How is Joseph going to verify that this baby was not from Mary's indiscretion, but instead it was God's intervention? How was Joseph going to verify that? I'll tell you how Joseph was going to verify it. He had to trust God, didn't he? And he had to trust God over his fears. And he had to trust God over his feelings. You know, some may not have understood the choice that Joseph was about to make. Your wife has been unfaithful to you. She's committed adultery. She needs to be stoned, and if not stoned, at least humiliated, at least become an outcast to her family and the community around her. Some may not have understood the choice that Joseph was about to make. But when Joseph hears that angel, Joseph had nothing to go on but the Word of God. He had nothing to go on but putting his belief and his courage and his trust in God and the angel that God sent, but that was enough. And he accepted it, didn't he? You know, when you would say that the only thing I have to go on is the Word of God, can I encourage you by way of application today? That's enough. When all you have to go on is to trust God, when all that you have before you is the Word of God and just to trust Him, would you be encouraged to say, that's enough. That's enough. I can just encourage and in faith trust God and accept that He knows what's best. Joseph believed the angel, didn't he? He believed the message that the angel was giving him to be totally and entirely and completely and absolutely a work of God. And he was willing to accept the invitation that God had given him to be used in God's story of redeeming love. Think about the invitation that God was giving Joseph. God saying to Joseph, I want to use you. I've already had an angel visit Mary. I want to use Mary. Now, Joseph, I've got good news. I want to use you. Back to a couple Sundays ago, Zechariah and Elizabeth. God says, I want to use you. Remember what we said when we preached on Zechariah and Elizabeth? The same is true for us today, isn't it? God is saying to us, I want to use you. Hey, I've got something special that I want to do with your life. But we've got to be willing to accept the invitation, don't we, to be used of God. We've got to be willing to say, God, I want you to use me. I give of myself to you. We talked about this morning in Sunday school, just a full surrender to God. It's not my will or what I want to accomplish or I want to see done, but all of what God wants. And Joseph was willing to accept that, wasn't he? He was willing to accept the invitation, the invite that God had given him to be used of God. He would, by faith and with great courage, accept a leadership role of being a husband and now a father. Imagine how that bad news turned into good news. Here's now Joseph with just simple faith, showing that he trusted in God's wisdom and God's provision. He had chosen to help Mary through her pregnancy and help her as she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He had chosen to be used of God to guide Jesus in the early years of his earthly ministry. What great courage and what great faith we see in the life of Joseph. And can I say, his courage and his faith also speaks to his integrity. He was willing to let go of his reputation, to let go of his plans. Hey God, these are the plans that I had. Hey God, I've worked a long time to build a reputation. I've worked a long time to build a name, but I'm willing to let go of that. I'm willing to let go of the plans that I have so that I can do the work that God has called me to do. Would you be willing to say that to God by way of application in your life today? God, whatever it is that you would use me to do, I'm willing to let go of my plans so that I can fulfill your plans for my life. You know, God's grace was working in the life of Joseph, wasn't it? You know, we see God's grace working in his life. Grace enables us to set aside our ideas. Joseph had certain ideas of what he thought maybe things should be like. He thought maybe would be his plans for life. But grace enabled him to set aside his ideas of what he thought things should be like and to see what God had planned. God had a special plan, didn't he? God's plan of redeeming love, that he was going to send a Savior into the world. We see Joseph's character. We see his compassion. We see his courage. Now there's a second part to this message where we're going to see another truth about the life of Joseph that I do not want you to miss when we move into the last two verses. Brother Rob read one of those. We read those as we started out the message today. We're going to move into verse 24 and verse number 25, and that's going to be part two of the message. But by way of application, can you ask yourself some questions this morning about the character and the compassion and the courage of Joseph? Like Joseph, are there things in your life where you would say, you know, I didn't really envision that? You know, you think about what Joseph went through. Joseph would ask that question. God, I didn't really envision this. I didn't really see it working out this way. Are there things in your life that you would say, you know, I didn't really envision it being like this? I didn't really envision what's happening right now in my life to be the way it is. Maybe it wasn't what your plan was. You know, maybe perhaps you could say there are things that are happening in my life right now that are really not even my desires. They're not even really what I want. But can I say this? How do you react to that, though? How do you react? As a Christian, how do we react when our expectations are turned upside down? When I expected something to happen a certain way, when I had a certain plan, when I had a certain desire, when we started reading the story of Joseph, we would certainly say that was not what he expected. That was not what his plan was. That was not what his desire was. But could we say this? He did react in a good way, didn't he? When his expectation was turned upside down, let me ask you, when your expectations are turned upside down, do you still have character? Do you still display compassion, perhaps even when others hurt you, like we saw what happened in the life of Joseph when he felt betrayal? Are you able to still have a character that would be said of your life? Would you still display compassion? Do you consider the fact that even though I didn't expect it to happen this way, even though I didn't plan it, even though this wasn't my desire, it could be that God may be in it? You know, God's in the story of Joseph, isn't he? And it could have been that just because Joseph thought my expectation wasn't, or it didn't meet my expectations, it didn't meet my plans, it didn't meet my desires, but God's still in it, isn't he? And so when your expectations turn upside down, do you perhaps feel like God could still be in it? Do you consider that God could still work to fulfill his purposes? Do you have times where, like Joseph, there's times of doubt or maybe times of disbelief or times of despair? Are you displaying the truth that we said of Joseph's life? Are you displaying courage? Is there trust there? Is there trust in God? Do you go to him for guidance? Do you go to him for wisdom and for instruction and direction? Are you praying or are you panicking? Today, would you answer those questions in your heart? We want to see the wonderful God of Christmas, and we want to see how he worked in the life of Joseph. And I wanted you to notice today, God's working in the life of Joseph when it comes to his character and his compassion and his courage. Maybe things aren't like you expected them to be today, but are you still trusting God? Are you still desiring to be a person, a Christian of character and a Christian of compassion? Let's use the examples that Joseph gives us, that God gives us in his word from the life of Joseph, and see how the wonderful God of Christmas worked in the life of Joseph and how he can work in our lives today as well. Would you bow your heads, and with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to have a moment of invitation where we can